Say when. Hey, fellas, welcome back to another episode of Unleashed. I am Kevin Huff. Sort of flying solo today, but I do have a guest with me here today. We'll get to that here in just a moment. What a grief-filled week in the world of men that love Jesus. Obviously referring to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I didn't follow him much. I certainly saw some of his reels, appreciated that he stood for the gospel. I think he's a man after God's heart, to be honest with you. But again, I don't know him that well. I can't tell you beyond that. But I can tell you this much. When you see how this country has responded to the assassination of Charlie Kirk, you know that he was on to something, because they had to tear his tongue out to keep him silent. And unfortunately, for those that don't agree with Charlie Kirk, they have awakened, I believe, a beast. But there's also good news, and I don't want to pass up on the opportunity of sharing with you the really good news, which is my brother Brent Henderson, our brother, he's doing well. I got to see him today, and in fact, would like to welcome him into this podcast. Hey, Brent.
What's up?
That's about what we're going to get from Brent right there.
Yeah, sorry, my voice. It'll be a while.
He had tubes down his throat and in his chest and up his woohoo and elsewhere. Poor guy. Up his legs. He's just been poked and prodded and twisted and turned and cracked open and rebuilt and sewn back together. And I'll tell you, he looks good, to be honest. But he is, I can tell he's weak right now.
You know, it's funny, when I was laying on the gurney, they're going to wheel me in. And, this was quick. You know, I only found out like a week before the serious issue with my heart. And as they were getting ready to wheel me in, I was thinking, this too shall pass. And then when they were getting ready to shoot me with the thing in my back to numb everything, then put me out, you know what my thoughts were? See when.
Oh, that's freaking awesome. I love that. Yeah. I'm going to open up our episode in prayer today.
Yeah, great.
God, I am so grateful to be at the same table as Brent today, able to sit here with my brother, look at him face to face, and know that you have begun a new and another work in him. So we praise you, Lord, for that. We praise you for the people that Charlie Kirk affected in his life, and we pray for blessings and blessings and blessings upon his family. And we pray for the encouragement of all of us to stand firm and stand in the gap for you, Lord Jesus. We pray that in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So what is a man after God's heart? That's kind of my topic for today, Brent. You know, we can talk about biblically living lives of humility, living lives clearly of obedience. I think Charlie did both of those pretty well. Living lives of repentance. I don't know that we saw that in his life, but I see that in our lives, right? Living lives of courage. Those are all things biblically I believe we can define as a man after God's heart. You tell the story about the book that was written. I want to say it was Lynch, right? About the two rooms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you told that.
Was it in the book called The Cure? I'm trying to remember.
Well, it was the last podcast where you mentioned that one.
Yeah.
But I like it because there's really, we just defined biblically, you know, some of, not clearly all of, but becoming a man after God's own heart and what those things are. But by contrast, there's living for God's approval or living for a man's approval. And I just pray for a boldness, men, among us, that we would be men who are living for God's approval instead of man's approval. But it's so easy to fall into that trap of wanting others to like me or think I did something cool or good or get promoted or get praised or any of those things, Brent.
You know, what's been amazing to me is, you know, we've been working on this new book, Unleashed. And one of the things we talk about there are those divine appointments that God sets up. And my heart beats for reaching men for Christ. That's my number one goal. That will be my whole life, and I will keep swinging that sword until the last time I pick it up.
And it's beating harder today, folks.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot healthier. Yeah. Just got to get on my feet here. But here I am in the hospital. They've just taken me out of ICU, get me to a room, and I get a visit from the hospital chaplain. You know, what's the chaplain's job with me in that instance? He's supposed to come in and see how my spirits are
doing. Last rites?
You're right. Right. And for 45 minutes, I ended up being the one speaking into him.
I love it.
He was beaten down. He said he's never known what his purpose was, and he's the chaplain. And he said no one wants to ever talk to him.
Yeah.
He just, I don't know what that's all about, but I saw a broken man.
Stacy. Oh, go ahead.
No, I saw a broken man, and I just began to love on him.
Yeah.
And here I am laying there with tubes going all through me and everything. But it's so amazing when that burns. This is what we've talked about this before, your why. Why do you do what you do? You find that. You found it.
Yeah.
And in those moments, sometimes when you're called upon to come through that question, can I, will I, do I have what it takes? There's something inside of you, Christ in you, that takes over the purpose that you have. Mm. And it just happens.
Yeah. During that time, Brent doesn't know this story, but Stacy texted me. That's his wife, for those of you that don't know. And she said, well, wouldn't you know, there's people coming in out of our room. And of course, Brent's serving and caring on them instead of them caring on Brent. She goes, isn't that just like my husband? And I was like, yes, it is. And I love it. So awesome to see happen. You know what? Just carrying on with this thought about being a man after God's heart, there's some great scripture we can reference. I think Micah 6:8 is a good example. I have a friend actually who wrote a book on this particular topic, but do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. I'm sure most of you have heard that phrase before. Psalm 51:10, created me a new heart, O God.
Yeah, I've thought of that one a few times.
Threw that one on here just for you, Brent.
Yeah.
I said new heart. It's created me a clean heart. You got that too.
I got that exactly. Too. Yeah. And it's not a new heart. It's a clean heart now.
Yeah, well, we threw 1 Samuel 16 in here as well. Verse 7, God looks at the heart, not the outward appearance. And now yours is flowing a lot better, so
yeah,
less excuses.
That's yeah, I'm ready to get back on my feet, buddy. Yeah. I'm ready to get back out it. I'm back at it. I want to get out there.
I love it. I think it's wonderful. But it's a challenge. Like, we're not going to deny that. It's an absolute challenge to become or even be in the process of becoming a man after God's heart. There are times when do justice burns too strongly in me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In the flesh.
Yes, it is. Well, this isn't right. I want this to be right. Well, you know.
And then we try to say, it's a righteous anger I'm feeling. Well, it can be a righteous anger, but if it lasts too long, you got to really look at it, whether it was a righteous anger, whether you're in the flesh.
Yeah, that's exactly right, brother. Exactly right. Yep. You know, there are plenty of men who have lived lives like Charlie Kirk as a witness, as an example, and that we never see.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
That we never see. They're just doing their thing behind the scenes, which I think is great because we hear in Scripture, right, that we are to do some things hidden and not be boastful and talking about that among men. And but at the same time, there are those that, like, you know, a Billy Graham or other who have the call on them to go out and to preach the gospel in larger public spaces. And so praise God for all those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, this is interesting. I'm laying here. I had this thought of, you know, we were at Market Square Arena seeing Chris Tomlin this past winter. And that one man that came into my room in the hospital, that chaplain, and I had a chance to speak into his life. You know, I wasn't, you know, witnessing to him as far as receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right? But I've had plenty of chances to do that over the last however many years. And as I was sitting there with the Chris Tomlin concert, I looked around and I asked somebody, so I don't know how many banker's life holds this. He said, I don't know, it's like 17,000 maybe or something. And from what I know of, you know, because when a lot of these events, they'll have like response cards. Mm. Tonight I received mm-hmm. Christ or whatever.
Pray for me, the family, whatever.
Yes.
Yep.
And I think it's close, or if not over 20,000 that have received Christ at these events. And I looked around that room. Remember that song years ago, Ray Bolts put out called Thank You?
For giving
to the Lord. Yeah. I'm a life that was changed.
Yeah, it talks about a Sunday school teacher and other people.
And I was just thinking about that. It's like, wow. When you start putting together servanthood in your life. And that means surrendering your need to be somebody, but to listen to others, hear where their needs are, and move into that. Charlie Kirk, you know, you might not have liked how he said things. I think he was very, very passionate. He was very, very smart.
Understood debate well.
Oh, very well.
Sharp guy.
But he would, everything, every video I've ever seen of him, he didn't come back mean. He might come back with a fact that people didn't like, and they were saying he was mean because of that.
I mean, I saw him snarky a few times.
Yeah. I mean, I think he had some, there was a few times, I'm sure, everybody, as much as that man got attacked, I don't know how he did what he did.
I remember one in particular, the girl talks about if she's pregnant, then it's just a clump of cells, and he goes, "You're just a clump of cells." Which, fact.
Yeah, it's true. But with Charlie, you know, and I'm not trying to just isolate on Charlie, but no. when we can live out what we believe is the truth, and we say that, you know, you've got facts, you know, everybody wants to say, well, here's the facts, or they want to debate, well, that's your truth, or whatever. But when we can take what we know to be factual, what we know to be truthful, what is truth, what has changed us, where we've seen God. I couldn't even begin to tell you this surgery, how it happened, how they found this issue. Because I was training to go hunting at 10,000 feet. I would have flown out today. Backpack, 10,000 feet, going after it with elk, right? If this wouldn't have been discovered, he said, I don't know how you walked in here today.
Yeah.
But when we can... live out of all those things together, like what Charlie was doing. My last book, The Roar Within, that's what it's about. You can't not talk about Jesus when he's changed your life. And that's what I saw happen the week before my surgery. I was turned upside down in seeing the power of God, and his spirit let me know that he already knew this was going to happen, mm-hmm. and that he was going to take care of it all the way through. You can hear I'm weak right now. I am. I'm weak. I'm tired. It's going to knock the snot out of me to do this today. But yep. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Today gave me some purpose and why when you said, hey, how about I just come over and we'll just do this? And I was like, I need that.
I'm telling you right now, he has perked up a lot since we started recording this podcast, because it was like watching the old man shuffle just to see him get over here to the table. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Lifting his cup with two hands to try and get a drink. And the next thing you know, he's into this.
And I'm drinking with a straw. Well, now, what real man?
I'm not going to make fun of you for that. But
I'm kidding.
I get it. It's only allowed in a car. We'll make an exception for this one. Look, I'm with you. We're not here. This is not a podcast about Charlie Kirk. But I do want to make one more comment about him. And it's really not even about him. It's about us. There is a tendency or a potential... that people would end up idolizing him.
Yeah.
And we need to be cautious.
He's not Jesus.
No. Amen. And stay away from that. So we're not looking to idolize nor condemn him. We're simply saying that it's tough to be a man after God's word. And you know what? I saw this video, and I wish I could remember who it was from, because I'd love to give credit where credit's due. So let's put it this way. Credit is not due to me. We'll leave it at that for now. But it said, what's your price? Is your price $10 million? Is your price $20 million? Is your price $100 million? Or is your price your life? If you're a truth teller, your price can't be anything but your life. If your price is anything but your life, you're not a truth teller.
My friend Don Higgins, who has the Chasing Giants podcast, he and Terry Peer, one of the things he said to me one time I'd never forget, he said, my integrity is not for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if you're a truth teller. Your integrity is not for sale.
Nope. By default. It's not even a choice you make. It's by default. If you're a truth teller, that has to be your only position.
Yep. And you're going to be hated for it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you just said Terry Peer.
Yeah.
And is he the guy that runs the nonprofit that mentioned we could have people send checks that way?
Oh.
I don't mean to put you on the spot here.
That's okay. It's called Lester's Feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have a post out on Facebook, and Terry jumped in and said, hey, if anyone wants to make a donation to Lester's Feet, they will make sure that 100% of it gets back to Brent and Stacy, and it's fully tax deductible as well. So
that was so nice.
I'm going to try and find that information and share it with you guys again when we make this post, and I'll put it back out on Facebook. But we're over 2,000 raised already on GoFundMe. And I took a look to make sure we weren't getting gouged where it's not bad. It's a 3% fee, essentially. It's basically the credit card fee plus 30 cents. So it's not taking much out of Brent and Stacy's hands if you need to go that route, which is fine. But if you can go the feet direction instead through Terry's org, Brent loves that organization and is a supporter of it and a firm believer that it's a safe place to send money. So
yeah, they really help families when they're going through things like this. They step up because I had to cancel every speaking event I had for this fall. Stacy had to take off weeks of work with no PTO.
Yeah.
And they see situations, you know, there's a difference between does someone really need something or is this a need that the family's going to have? And, you know, I it's hard.
I know.
I'm swallowing my pride.
I know.
But I just want to say thank you. I know some of you already did give to the GoFundMe, but I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said in the post, I think I even said at the end of the last podcast, you know, it only makes sense that we would have an opportunity to pour into you as you have taken time to pour into so many of us. So, thanks. Fellas, let's continue to lift up Brent and Stacy in prayer. And then please also prayerfully consider what you can offer them in terms of support. Didn't mean to do a commercial there, Mill, but you mentioned his name, and so it just reminded me of him, and I didn't want to miss that opportunity. So,
you know, what rocked you, Kevin, with this whole thing? I got home on Wednesday. My surgery was on the, what was it, the 5th? And I got home, what would it have been, the
10th?
When was 911, Thursday?
Yeah, it was Thursday.
Yeah, so I got home on the 10th, and I sat down. I was, you know, weak, emotionally, physically, everything, just drained. And she gets me in the front door. She gets me seated on the couch. And she hands me a remote because it's going to be this way for the next few months. And she goes, I'm just going to go freshen up. You know, she'd been with me staying overnight, sleeping on a recliner. Oh. And I sat down and turned the TV on. And the first thing I saw was this thing with the assassination. And I just, I texted her and she came down. We both sat there and just bawled. Mm-hmm. Because here's one of the things, you know, social media, AI. Podcasts, they're powerful. They can be a force for good or they can be a force for evil. And I think this is where, you know, people will say, now, how do you fight back? Love. Tell truth.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to do the podcast like this, I saw Charlie's wife get up and give her, I don't know what you want to call it, like, from where he was, his podcast office, he has the empty chair and she's standing there talking about, now, what you have done, you thought you had quieted him.
Right.
What you have just unleashed, you have no idea what's coming. And I really do. I pray that all of us, you know, as Kevin's been talking about, be truth tellers. I think it's difficult right now because so many parents are listening to this podcast or other things who might be conservative, just throwing that word out there for what it is. And they're worried that maybe their children aren't going to carry on the same beliefs that maybe the what they had. Well, everyone has to figure out what they believe. You know, and you go back to you know, the Bible when it talks about, you know, God will help raise up your children in the way they should go, right? Train them up. It's hard to take your hands off. I can't imagine, you know, from what we've heard, the shooter's father was a sheriff, and you have all these people that morality and Christian people around, and all of a sudden, something through social media began to turn him. And they've been talking, this has been on the news, I'm sure you heard it by now, but they've been talking about how all of a sudden he became very political and very easily angered with political things. And I just, you probably remember this, maybe a month ago I had made a post about we have to be very careful in how we love others. Loving the way Jesus, and maybe it was a podcast we did about how Jesus walked 3 miles an hour. It might have been that one.
Okay.
But through this whole thing right now, I know many of you right now, you're afraid. You don't need to be afraid. Mm-mm. God has this. But we need to be wise because the enemy is going to try to stir this up even hotter, right? Evil didn't just all of a sudden appear and got worse. Evil has been evil since the very beginning, but the ability to pick up your phone and get on social media and see videos or propaganda or anything, that's like never in history. I want to encourage you guys, listen to the podcast, but I want to encourage you, Turn off your TV. Get off your phone. Sit down with your families and ask them what's important to them. Mm. Ask them why you see things the way you see them. Ask them to say, can you explain why you feel that way? Not just because you've heard it from your friends or you saw it on a post. What makes you believe that way? Because your beliefs drive how you think, and those drive how you feel, and those drive how you act. Beliefs are core.
100%. Beliefs determine behavior. No question about that. Well, Brent, I think in the same vein, you know, Matthew 5, we are the light of the world, and we're to have our light shine before others. Some of us have had some rather dim lights turned on lately.
Yeah. Don't make me laugh.
Sorry. It's in me, though.
Yeah, I know.
Just testing how far you can really go. But 2 Timothy 4, also on the other end of the spectrum, right? I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Just that good and faithful servant, you know, moment. We believe Charlie's just been through that. I eagerly await it, but I'm not in a hurry. Like, I don't know how to say that. You know, I'm when it happens, praise the Lord.
Until you know then. What? This right now, what I'm going through, I'm going to use a word that I wasn't allowed to say when I was a kid. Uh-oh. It just sucks. It just does. But here's what I'm looking forward to. I know God is, he's not rewriting my story. My story is my story, but he is, it's like taking to a wordsmith and saying, I want you to take my story and I want you to really help me see what I couldn't see. Mm. And now take the story that's coming up in the future now and make it more powerful. Didn't I think I sent you that? Because when Charlie Kirk was struck down with a bullet, you go back to Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader.
Yeah,
you know, strike me down and I will become stronger.
Yes.
I just started thinking about that. Even with this, yeah, this is heart surgery and it was a big one. But what the enemy is doing for evil, God will use for good. And I know he's going to give me a story now that I can relate to more people than ever before.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Don't know where to go from there, but...
Well, brother, I'm just thankful. This week you stayed in touch with me, and you're over here babysitting me. That's going to make me laugh.
I was going to text Stacy ahead of time to make sure you used the restroom before I got here. So right, didn't know, want to push our relationship too far.
Yeah, let's not even... You know, one of the things is a guy, you know, I think this one guy kind of it was actually the chaplain that I talked to. Mm-hmm. When I started talking to him, he couldn't believe the way I was talking to him. He's like, oh, I just kind of think, you know, you're one of those posers, you know, man's man kind of a thing. Because you hunt and you fish and all that stuff. He said, but I didn't find that as I talked to you. The whole thing with this surgery is, if you could see some of the things that I was questioning, like Googling, because I wanted to have answers, but I didn't want to let Stacy know I was
right
checking these things out. One of the questions was like, how do you clean yourself after you go to the bathroom? Am I going to have help doing that? You know, am I going to have to
get
help?
A water pick?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, yeah. Showering. Can I do that on my own? Am I going to have these nurses coming in there? And I know all the guys would be elbowing each other and everything, but when you get in this position, like, oh, dude, really?
Yeah.
That went away. Huh. They had, and I told you this, I'll just share it, but they had to give me an emergency cath about 4 days after surgery because I was retaining too much fluid. I couldn't pass.
Yeah.
And to be having a nurse do that, and it was not a short process. I mean, let's just say it took some time to get that.
Are you done. Saying it was a long process? Are you trying to make a point here, Brent?
It was way longer than I just wanted it to be over.
Yeah, dude. I'm sure.
It was humiliating in a way, and it was painful. I had no idea it would be like that. But when it was all done, these people do this every day. It's what they do. That's their gift.
Yep.
And I'm so grateful. But anyhow, the whole thing just came back was, yeah, any pride and ego you have when you go in like this, it pretty much, you know, they have the gown on you, right? And they want you to get out and do some, you know, physical therapy in the hall and walking. And I think one time I just say, hey, would you mind closing the back of that so I'm not giving a show? And she was laughing. She goes, I got you covered.
Yeah.
But besides that, you just, it is what it is.
It is. It is. And it's in some ways, it's kind of a parallel to if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. That, it's a mental shift. It's a whole different mindset.
It is.
And you have to just get past it and go, all right, well, this is harder or easier than I thought, whatever the case may be.
The, we always
get past myself.
The beginning, we always go, see when.
Yeah.
Well, that movie is?
Tombstone.
Tombstone. And you remember he says it's the reckoning. Oh, remember
yeah.
that?
Oh, yeah.
It's that whole thing. When these kind of moments come up, it's kind of the reckoning. It is. It's kind of funny. I'm going to have to watch that movie tonight.
Or the wrecking.
The wrecking. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Mufasa.
Ooh. Oh, gosh.
Man, brother. It's already been 25 minutes of hanging out with you and recording this podcast. It only took me 35 minutes to set the stupid thing up.
And the dog hasn't barked. I'm shocked.
I know. She's right here in front of... Is it a she?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she's great.
She is great. Reese.
Yep.
Well, let's kind of close out with a few thoughts, guys, and reflection. You know, just ask yourself, ask the spirit, are you living courageously or comfortably? You know, I think that's the discomfort zone is where growth occurs. That's where growth occurs, is the discomfort zone.
Yeah.
I think there's some practical disciplines we can have in place for ourselves if we don't already. And even if you do, you could just look at how can you extend on it or find other opportunities. I think prayer, scripture, time in the Word, being with people like me, being with Brent, fellowship, it's a fantastic thing. And accountability, which is something we should not be running from but running toward. But even if you're already in prayer, already in the Word, you're already in fellowship, you already have accountability partners or a way to be held accountable, you know, stretch that. Put yourself in the Word again. Put yourself in prayer again. Find other opportunities to bless others and be in communion with them and fellowship with them. And men, I want to encourage you to speak truth in your daily life with your family, at work, and any other time you're in the public. Are you going to close this out?
Yeah, sure.
Good. I didn't memorize your thing. So
we're just impromptu here, but I was thinking about this. You know, what this caused me to do before the surgery was, God, search me and know me, right?
Mm.
If there be any wicked ways within me, you know, in the flesh, and it was the reckoning. It was kind of like putting everything out and looking at myself and going, no, it isn't about performance, but there's definitely a difference when you know that you are clean before God.
Yeah.
You're not carrying something that's causing you shame, you know. Is it unforgiveness? What is it that you are struggling with? Don't wait until you have to have quadruple bypass, right?
Mm.
Now's the day. Why? Why would you wait? You know, maybe you're addicted to porn. And maybe this is going to sound crazy because I was just thinking about you having that little file that we brought in to record this on. Maybe you're one of those guys that's kind of got your stash. Why? It's just causing you shame.
Mm.
Get rid of it. Take a hammer and smack the snot out of it. And then take it before God and surrender and saying, yeah, I want what you want today.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like to be unleashed, because I'm not holding on. I'm totally surrendered. So yeah, let's just finish out the way we always do and say that when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies.
Amen.
That man is extremely dangerous. Dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. Love you guys.